Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Frank and Peggy. It was wonderful. Thank you. Hope. We're going to get to hope in a moment. But I had some family business I want to share. One of the things that we do with our church is one of the missions aspect is we have this organization, Shella Aid in Guatemala, that we give to from our church. Whenever someone joins our journaling program or anything, all proceeds go to helping these children in Guatemala. The goal is this organization comes in, and there's these children that they're unable to go to school and education and healthcare and all the above. So this organization comes in and supplies medical needs and schooling and food for an entire year for every time you donate towards a child. And so I just want to let you know, we just hit our first child for this next year just recently. And so I want to give you updates throughout the year every time that we hit one child in the school. So isn't that neat? Yeah. Thanks for clapping that one person. It's so neat. Well, we are starting a new series called Armed and Dangerous. Can everyone say Armed and Dangerous? Armed and Dangerous. I know there's a lot of quotes out there with Armed and Dangerous. There's some silly movies named Armed and Dangerous with John Candy, but that's not what this series is about. Armed and Dangerous. Oh, that's cool font. I just saw it. The whole goal of this series is to become armed and dangerous, to become both. So you can be more armed than anyone else, but you won't be dangerous until you're in range. You can have the best sword in the world, but if you're at the other end of a football field and someone has an arrow, it's really pointless. You know what I mean? You have to be effective with what God has given you. There's no point in being armed if you're not in range. So today's message title is called In Range. I want to, as a pastor, equip you to move forward and to take back what the enemy has taken from you. God has given us and proclaimed and promised us certain things on this earth through the Bible. And sometimes we don't see it. And we're like, hey, what's the deal? Well, I want to equip you with tools to get what belongs to you. It belongs to you. It's yours. The Bible promises it. But you can't get it until first you have to get in range. So that's the goal of today. Now I'm going to say boat and ship several times, but to me they're interchangeable. Larry, Rebecca, you already know. They're the same thing, boat and ship. But I want you to pick the older ships where they had those beautiful sails. They had those anchors. They had really no machinery on them. They would be lost at sea unless a good wind would come by and carry them to where they need to be. I want you to get that visualization. I want you to picture that your life is that boat. Sometimes you're headed to where you're supposed to be headed, and sometimes you're just adrift at sea letting life hit you. But my goal is today getting you in range of the destination that God has called you to be at. Is that good? Is that such a cool illustration and picture? George Washington said, I'm going to have a lot of quotes and some of them about war just because it's armed and dangerous and I thought they were cool. But George Washington said, if we desire to avoid insult, we must be able to repel it. If we desire to secure peace, one of the most powerful instruments of our rising prosperity, it must be known that we are at all times ready for war. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But are you ready to repel that? Are you ready to say, no, not today. Today's my day. God's proclaimed that this is my day. You don't get to come in here and mess with me and my family. Get out of here. So number one, jumping straight in. First point today is hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. I was did a quick study on ships that had sails. Do you know if the ropes holding the sails to the ship aren't held fast on the ship, that's a sail term, held fast onto the ship, they just flap in the wind, and the wind doesn't assist the ship at all. Do you know that? If the sails aren't held fast, the external force, even though it's working to help the ship, does nothing. It just blows right through the sails. There comes a point on a ship where you have to say, all right, I need to hold fast the sails because I'm tired of sitting around waiting for the sea of life to carry me to where I want to go. I have to hold fast the sails. Hold fast the sails. That's the illustration of this first point. If the sails are tight, an external force can cause the ship to move in range of the destination. Sometimes we can feel a lack of movement or a lack of being in range of purpose. We might even feel like we're too far away from God or the calling on our lives. I really want you to get this illustration. Like, I've definitely felt in my life where if I was a boat or a ship or whatever you want to say it, sitting there and you see no land in sight and you can almost feel hopeless. It's like, I think we're headed, it all looks the same that way, you know? And sometimes we can feel like that in our life of, well, I don't see where I'm headed anymore. My sails are loose, flapping in the wind, and I'm just dead at sea. And the sea of life, the waves might take you somewhere or wherever. But really, it comes a point where you have to tie down the sails to get where the location that God is calling you to. By tightening our sails, we're able to move more efficiently and hold on to the direction God is nudging us. I wanted to do something kind of special this sermon series. Something that we haven't done in the last 2 years. We haven't done as me being a senior pastor, I'll say that. Is I want to call an all-church fast. But before everyone goes, oh, I can't give up my pancakes in the morning. I can't give up this and this and this. I'm calling a church fast, an all-church fast, not about food. So I want you to hear that for a second. I'm going to explain that throughout the message. But I'm calling a unity fast. There's something that happens when a group of believers gather and come in unison behind God. One thing God loves is unity. When everyone's moving together, man, he craves that. He loves that. He's able to do so much with unity. I wanted to call this all church fast and in preparation for this next season. For us personally and us corporately. I'm going to give that in a moment. It's just a teaser of the middle of the message. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. It doesn't say no weapon formed against you will be destroyed. It just says won't prosper. It also indicates there is weapons formed against you. There is things that are going to come against you. But by you standing up, they won't succeed. You know, I think it's funny because the enemy has this ploy to say, hey, if I can build a scary thing that will just scare you so bad that you give up before I actually get to you, that's a win for me. Because if he can get you to give up, he wins. It's not going to prosper, but unfortunately, our emotions and our mind will give up because we just see a weapon. Okay. Isaiah 49:2. This is what I love. I love this verse. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. This is the theme verse for this whole sermon series. We are made to be a weapon up close and at a distance. Up close and at a distance. I want you to grasp that. God created us to be a weapon for the kingdom of what's happening to us and what's happening to others we love at a distance. Do you get that image? You are an arrow to pierce the darkness for those you love, and you are a sword to face what you're fighting right here. It's just so much imagery. I love it. Okay. I want to give four aspects. I have points within points. I went a little overboard on points. I know the bulletin only says 4 points, but each point has like points, and there's points on top of points. I got points galore today. What's the point? My points are on point, and here's what the point is. All right. Four aspects of a fast that you have to look at internally. There's four questions you need to ask yourself whenever you fast. You don't just go on fast. That's called a diet unless you have a purpose behind it. My wife called me out in our first year of marriage, I think. It was early on in our marriage. And one time I was just doing a fast because other people were doing a fast. And I was like all about the rules, the regulations, and all about this. And she's like, you do realize you're just on a diet. And I was like, I'm going to get some aloe vera for that burn right now. Yeah. Four questions. Number one, the what. The what. What are you fasting? For some of you, it might be food. For some of you, it might be media. For some of you, it might be something else. This should be something representing the ropes in the ship illustration. It's something that connects when you hold fast the ropes. You're saying, I'm going to hold fast. I'm going to pull the slack in and tie it off. Before, it was just blowing in the wind, but now I'm going to have purpose behind this. I'm going to tighten the sails, and through that, God is going to take me to my new location. Does anyone think it's cool that the sail term is hold fast, and we're going on a fast? Okay, thanks. I just needed to give the extra step in case no one caught it. Hold fast. The image is, what slack do you have in your life that you can tighten to allow God to take you to the next destination? What slack is it? It should be the what. It should be something that you think would be difficult to live without for a short time. It needs to be something daily. You can't be like, you know what, I think I'm going to give up flying a kite. When was the last time you flew a kite, really? It has dust in your garage. And that one piece is broken and it's tied off because your daughter played with it too much. It's specific today. Needs to be something daily. And I got to remind you, it's not about the food. For some of you, it is the food. But some of you, it's not. Some of us doctors have said we can't go without certain things. Please, don't put your life in jeopardy because you didn't pray this through. Pray it through. What is God calling you to fast? What is God calling you to take in the slack? For me, it's a few things, and I'm writing this down, and my wife and those of you who know me well, these are hard for me. I'm giving up a few things, and one of them at the forefront is coffee. Did you just hear that? So those of you who don't know me well, you know I'll get my coffee today. Woo. So you better not be calling me saying, how's your coffee, Pastor? Don't be doing that. I'll be cranky without my coffee. I haven't decided, but I'm gonna get to number three is going to answer that in a second. Number one, so the what. What does it look like for you? What is it something that's going to tighten your slack? And maybe it's something added to fast. Maybe you fast some of the time on the couch. You say, you know what, during my fast, my couch time that I was going to be watching something, doing something, Facebooking, whatever, I'm going to put that aside and go on a walk. Larry's like, oh, just got convicted. Those are the moments. Those are the moments that tighten the slack and allow you to hear from God, because you make them purposeful about him. And he has a promise to speak if you will listen. That's the thing. All right. That was one. I haven't said number two yet, right? Okay, the why. I already said this one a bunch of times, but tighten the ropes to allow God to nudge you into range. For everyone, it's different. Maybe it's to hear God during this fast. Maybe it's understanding your purpose. Maybe it's for healing. Maybe it's to see God move through you in a greater way, or to start moving through you if you've never experienced that. The why. In going in a fast, you need to be prepared, because you need to be specific of why you are fasting. You need to start with it. You don't just say, I'm going to go on a fast, and then like I'll figure it out halfway through. That's nothing. That's just, never mind. I'm not going to say it. Number three, the win. The win, W-H-E-N, not W-I-N. The win. I don't know why that's so funny to me. I'm sorry. Welcome to Lighthouse, where we joke around a lot. But we also get deep at the same time. The win. Choose a timeline. Choose a timeline. In praying for this all-church fast, God really gave me a specific instruction, and it has a purpose behind it, the timeline of this fast. And at first, I was really wrestling with it, praying, and I'm like, God, should a fast be a mathematical formula? I don't understand what you're giving me. And I was praying for this since, I think, October last year? This has been a long time in prayer for this. And God gave me something very specific. There are people in our church that have been believing and praying for something for a very long time. Okay? And he gave me this understanding. Count up the years you've been praying for it. So if it's 6 years, 10 years, 40 years, whatever it is, and fast one day for every year. So if it's 6 years that you've been believing for something very specific, fast for 6 days. If it's something you've been really believing for 40 years, fast for 40 days. It's hard. For some of you, saying, well, I've been believing for this for a year. Fast a year. I mean, fast a day. Sorry. Fast a day. For some of you young people, that is so meaningful and purposeful to God. You say, God, I've been believing this for a year. I wanna give up my day for you, Jesus. Man, he sees that. He sees it. The win. So I counted how many days, starting today, we have until the end of this sermon series and the next one starts. You got 41 days. There's something specific. I'm not saying to start today. I'm saying figure out why you're fasting. Figure out what you're fasting, and figure out when you're fasting. If you say, man, I'm going to be fasting for 2 days, but I want to end it on that last Sunday, go for it. But be ready to fast strong on those 2 days. Okay. Number four, the goal. The goal. I should have had the win. Yeah, write down the win. That's good. W-I-N. I know. we as a church come into unity and fast for something personal, but also for our church corporately. I wrote this down because I want to be specific. As the lead pastor, I'm asking for you to corporately pray for this next season of our church. I told you I got like points galore today, so I have four points corporately of things I'm asking for you to pray for in our church during this fast. Every time you fast, I want you to go over one or all four of these things. Say, God, I pray for this for our church. I pray for this for our church. I pray for this and this. Number one, a welcoming heart for our church. A welcoming heart for our church. I preached on that we're made to welcome. And that's where this comes from. A welcoming heart for our church. That we'd welcome people above and beyond anything. A welcoming heart for our church. Number two, Sunday mornings. That every single Sunday morning, the Spirit of God would show up so powerfully. We'd be able to lift God up in praise like never before. That every Sunday morning, creativity would be abundant. The Word would come through. Number three, discipleship in this next season. Discipleship. We're starting some very specific things to no matter where you're at in your walk with God. If you're not a Christian, you don't even know who Jesus is. We have a spot. And we have steps all the way up explaining what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a leader, going through all the aspects. And number four, please pray for care for our community. Care for our community. Care for our community. I was talking to our council, and the question kept popping up on number four. Would anyone miss us if we were gone? Individually, would anyone miss you? That's the question. When you have a heart to care for your community, people will miss you greatly because you impact them so much. All right. I have some quotes. Jimmy Dean said, "I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination." So good. It's as if he wrote this quote for this message. William Golding said, "He who rides the wind of the Nile must have sails woven of patience." You know that's good. William Arthur Ward said, "The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails." All right, point number two. Anchor fast. Anchor fast. I'm afraid if you're writing your bulletin, you'll probably run out of space pretty quick. Anchor fast. Here's the deal. Have you ever had a powerful experience or moment with God, and then the days go by, and you can almost revert back to who you were? Like you have this mountaintop experience, or you go to summer camp or winter camp, which we just had, and it was wonderful this last Sunday. But have you ever had one of those mountaintop experiences, and you slowly start drifting back? I heard Raquel, actually, my sister-in-law over there, was talking about chiropractors. She said that a chiropractor, if you go in and get your back adjusted and they get it perfectly in alignment, it's the best you've ever felt in your life. Days later, your back will revert to the way it was before. It's like, I can stand up straight. I can do everything. And then slowly it goes back because we haven't set the new lifestyle in foundation yet of how to sit right, how to walk right, how to stand right. Because old habits creep back. So number two, the point of this message, or the point of this point, is anchor fast. The ship, as the sails are pulled and you fast and you tighten down the sails and you get to the destination and you start hearing God speak to you. What happens when the fast ends? Do you let the sails go and the boat just kind of drifts back to where it was? Because we all know there's a tide that wants to carry you back to where you used to be. That was a freebie. It wasn't even in my notes. That just popped up. When you get to where you're going at the end of your fast, anchor fast. Throw down the anchor as quick as you can. Say, God, I'm not moving off of this. I'm not moving off. So practically, what does that look like? I'm glad you asked. An anchor is always represented in the Bible as a specific thing. Hope. Hope. Hebrews 6:19. The hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Hope is an anchor. Every time you see a boat, every time you see a ship, anytime you see an anchor, remember, that's hope to God. It's something that prevents you from being carried away by the seas of life. It keeps you strong. It keeps you in foundation. It keeps you unmovable. No wave or storm will move you if your anchor is down. Some of us have weak anchors, and we might get dragged for a while. But the bigger, the stronger that anchor is, the less likely you'll be able to be pulled out by the seas of life. Throw down your anchor. Throw down your anchor. Through fasting, you will come out the other side with a depth and closer relationship with Christ. But when you come out the other side, write out your hope. That's the most practical advice I can give you. What's your hope? If it's not written down, you're going to start forgetting it eventually. At least I do. I have a short-term memory. Write it down. What's your hope? God, I was praying for our church on this, and my hope is to see this. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says, write it down, make it simple so that anyone sees it can run with you. Write it down. God, I kept having to pray for my family because my family kept popping up every single day when I was fasting. That's a hope anchor. Write it down. Write it down. I love the song that Frank and Peggy sang today. It's all about hope. It's all about hope. It keeps you in foundation. That hope is saying, God, I know where I'm going. I know what's next, and I'm hoping for that. I have a story I wanted to share. It's just kind of funny, but it's about hope. The opening is not funny, so I apologize on this for setting that up. A woman was diagnosed with a terminal illness. Sorry. As she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and asked him to come to her house to discuss some of her final wishes. She told him the song she wanted sung at her funeral service, the scripture she wanted read, and the outfit she wanted to be buried in. She also asked to be buried with her favorite Bible. As the pastor prepared to leave, the woman remembered something else. "There's one more thing," she said excitingly. "What's that?" said the pastor. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." Pastor stood looking at the woman, not knowing really what to say. The woman explained, "In all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably say, keep your fork. It was my favorite part of the meal because I knew something better was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie. So when people see me in that casket with a fork in my hand and they ask, what's with the fork? I want you to tell them, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. So good. Keep your fork. It's funny, next time we have like a potluck, someone's going to say that. Don't bring your fork. Every person needs hope. Doesn't matter what your situation is, your age, how bad your life might seem, you need hope. She had hope for the next season of her soul and hope for everyone at that funeral. Get that. Understand it. Grasp it. Where a lot of us might have been in her shoes, we probably would have lost hope at some point. But she was so excited to say, man, best is yet to come. And I want every single person knowing that. I want every person knowing that the best is yet to come. James E. Faust said, hope is the anchor of our souls. I know of no one who's not in need of hope, young or old, stronger, weak, rich or poor. Ezra Benson said, I firmly believe in prayer. It is possible to reach out and tap the unseen power which gives strength and anchor in time of need. Frank Colby said, cast your cares on God, that anchor holds. Debbie Ryan, have an anchor so that life doesn't toss you around. Ezra Benson said again, we must not lose hope. Hope is an anchor to the souls of men. Satan would have us cast away that anchor. All right, number three, act fast. Act fast. My wife and I, for our honeymoon, we went on a cruise to Mexico, and it was wonderful, it was great. But something, it was really interesting, whenever the cruise ship reached its destination, people were going, Patty, can you, Linda just came in. People would go crazy, getting the boat tied off, getting everything done, everything was happening. No one was still. You never saw a deckhand go, oh, we docked. Good job, guys. No, there was things happening, supplies. Every single person had their job on the ship. Some people had to get all of the waste off the ship. Some people had to get all the food, old food, and get the new food on. They had to get everything happening. I once talked to a paramedic, and they said, do you know why the cruise ship takes 30 minutes to an hour before they open the doors for the passengers to get off? And I was like, this is a paramedic. Paramedic. I couldn't say it. Paramedic. And I was like, yeah, I've always wondered that. I was like, it's stopped. It's there. He goes, that's the moment when the paramedics come on and take off every single person that has gotten sick or something else bad has happened to them. And they don't want the general public trampling them, stepping on them, or seeing what's happened. They have a special gangway just for that to get off the ship. There are things happening that we don't know about. We have to act fast the moment we dock because God has specifically called us into that season, not to sit around and meander for 50 years, but to act fast because he has a purpose and a divine encounter right here, right now. And then guess what? We head to the next season. That season is temporary. Hey, you know what I love about this illustration also? You stop and you reach the destination in unity together. Then, when it's done in that season, we leave dock and head to the next destination together. There's a unity here. A cruise ship isn't 50 ships together moving in, kind of jumbled around. It's one big thing where we all come on and we all have our plan and our purpose and our goal and our movement. That's what this is. Our church is entering a new season, and by fasting together, please grasp that, we will move into unity together. Act fast. What do I mean by act fast? Let me just give you practical examples. You're going to reach your destination. You're going to fast. You're going to write down your hope. And all of a sudden, you're going to be on this this moment. Every single person, I believe it. At the end of your fast, you're going to start seeing something. You're going to feel a nudge to pray for someone. Someone's face will just pop in your mind. Those are moments God is nudging to pray for someone. Pray for them. Message them. For some of you, you might be walking in a supermarket and this happens a lot. You might just see a mom with four kids screaming their heads off. Do you know some of the best encounters we could possibly ever have is walking up to that mom and say, "Man, you're doing a great job. I've been there and you're doing so good." Yeah, those are some of the most hard times for parents. When their kids are just losing their minds and they have to go shopping. And I've been there. It's so hard. Act fast. You will feel impressions on your heart because you intentionally spent time trying to listen for God. Act on those impressions. You're in a specific season. Take care of business. James 2, 14, 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can this kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat well," good luck. But you do not give them what the body needs, what good is it? So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead being by itself. So, how to tell if God is nudging on my heart? I just took it practically out of 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other, build each other up, just as you already are doing. So these are my last 3 points, okay? So number one, how to tell if God is nudging my heart at the end of this fast. It'll encourage others. It'll grow the kingdom. And it will use your gifts. Your gifts. If it requires you to do something that's not you, that's weird. You know? If I heard a guy say once, when you pray how you normally talk. Don't try to mimic someone on the TV. Because that's not you. It uses your gifts. It's how you normally, just pray. God listens to who you are as you talk normally. Can I pray with you? Yes. Well, God, I pray that you would heal them right now. Don't go up and just like slap someone. That's not you. Be you. If that is you, then be, be you. Okay. Stephen Covey said, employers and business leaders need people who can think for themselves, who can take initiative and be the solution to problems. Act fast. Samuel Dash said, when you believe in what you're doing and use your imagination and initiative, you can make a difference. Bo Bennett said, without initiative, leaders are simply workers in leadership positions. That's like a good quote, and it also like stings a little bit too. Without initiative, leaders are simply workers in leadership positions. You can be armed, but you won't be dangerous unless you get in range. That's what it is. Let's go in unity. Plan out how are you going to fast? How are you going to hear from God? How are you going to tighten your sails? How long are you going to fast? You got 41 days. Make the best of it. God wants to speak. Are you willing to listen? I want to pray as we conclude. Lord, you are wonderful and you are mighty. But we are in a very specific season. We are in a unification season to hear from you. Lord, I intercede right now that as we feel these nudges on our heart of what to do, that we begin hearing your voice. We begin feeling your presence. We begin feeling that peace that comes over us as we spend time with you, that comfort that overwhelms us. The tribulations at life, that the storms that surround us are nothing because our sails are up. And the external force, the wind, which we can't see, but is so powerful, is moving us to where we're supposed to be, together. Lord, in your name, I pray. Amen.